Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your Tuesday. Chris Mannix was on the big show, had some interesting comments, and Lloyd talked about this, about kind of having a conversation on, Donovan Mitchell might be the face of the Utah Jazz right now, but who's the guy that really makes it go? And here's Chris Mannix as he talks about, essentially who's more important for the Utah Jazz.
It's tough. It's a coin flip, and they both do different things for that team, which is great for the Jazz. You can make an argument both ways because Donovan, you need him to take over games late. Oftentimes, that's what it comes down to. Fourth quarter, closing seconds, closing minutes, when guys start trading buckets, if you don't have that guy, you can't win this league. But all that being said, this might be the year where you give Rudy a bit of the edge. I think Gobert has been like a top five MVP guy this year. He's been unbelievable. Not just the usual defensive stuff, but screen setting, creating space for his guys to operate with those big screens, rolling off them, just the little things that often don't show up on the stat sheet. Every time I'm watching Jazz games, like, he's doing something that's impactful on the offensive end. You can give him Defensive Player of the Year award every single year because he's the only guy in the league you have to be aware of where he is every single moment of every single offensive possession. He can step out of those pick and rolls and defend perimeter shooters, and he's helped the Jazz defend the three-point line really well. He's doing a little bit of everything out there, and it's really powered this Jazz start.
Wow. There's a guy that finally watched the Jazz.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You've got these national writers that we bring into this market every day that typically maybe see the Jazz in a full, what would you say, one game out of eight?
Yeah.
Maybe one game out of ten.
If that. That's a highlight package too.
And finally these guys are like, okay, well, I guess I better watch the Jazz. Whoa. Who's this Rudy Gobert? Who's this long guy that gets up and down the court? Swats everything. Who's he?
This guy's good.
Well, maybe I'll talk about him when I go on the market next time. Because most of the time I'm listening to these guys, I'm like, they're great with their national take.
Oh, yeah.
And I tune in for their national take. When they start talking Jazz, I'm always like, click, yeah. Done. I don't want to hear this guy. He doesn't care. He didn't know.
And the problem is, and every fan base is this way. I don't want to pick on Jazz fans, but we're I don't know what the roots are here, but there is somewhat of a inferiority complex about, like, ooh, do they like us? Do they like us? Are they saying nice things about us? What are they saying? And so we get so fired up when somebody on a national scene says something good about the teams that we love, and then we get so angry when in reality they don't know. But Chris Mannix knows.
Yeah.
Chris Mannix has put some work in.
Yep. And you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. You know he's finally watched. Like, he's really watched. And he's looked at what Rudy does away from the ball, offensively, constantly away from the ball, creating so many different offensive looks because of what he presents. And then I was watching Rudy last night. He had one block shot that was just spectacular. Guy released it maybe 5-6 feet away. Bottom of that basketball. I don't even know what the ultimate touch would have been. It's high. And he touched the bottom of that basketball and affected the shot.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's one guy in the NBA that could do that. One.
That double block he had last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's very, very few human beings on the planet.
To block and turn the way he did.
To block, turn.
Completely pivot.
And block again.
Yeah. And dominantly block again. So it's really nice to hear somebody who I do respect on a national level that finally watched the Jazz and gave me an in-depth analysis on Rudy Gobert and saying, yeah, it's Rudy. Because I do agree, it's Rudy. I've always kind of felt like this is Rudy's team, that the wins and losses fall on Rudy. But in the fourth quarter and the image of the team, it's Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell will continue to be the image of the Utah Jazz because he's the high flyer. He's the showpiece. He's the guy that gets the possessions in the fourth quarter, that either scores the points or doesn't score the points. So, of course, he's going to be the focal point because, these national guys that tune in for 10 minutes on a given night to see, oh, I guess I better watch the Jazz, they see Donovan Mitchell, who's pushing the lane, getting to the rim, throwing down these crazy, hard-hitting, what do you call that kind of dunk that he does, that over-the-top slam that's just nasty, and he does it multiple times. That's what they see. That's the image they see. But when a guy like Mannix finally sits down for a couple of big games because they're on a 20-game win streak, he sees Rudy Gobert doing the work. Rudy Gobert is the heavy lifter. And he's also the guy that's just going to continue to be, well, he's the FD. Just go do your thing, and we're not going to talk as much about you. But he is getting some attention right there. At least Mannix sees him.
Well, it's just what the Jazz are with him off the court as opposed to what they are on the court.
Yeah,
it's dramatic. I mean, he is the best defensive big in the NBA, and it's not even close. Now, there's some bigs out there that can do some really special things on the offensive side, looking at you, Joker. But on the defensive side, nobody touches what Rudy Gobert can do and how he alters the game in so many different ways.
I'm not sure in my 15 years watching the NBA and covering it on air, I'm not sure I've seen anything really even close to him. I've seen some good defenders, and you see some great athletes. I would say that I've seen guys that are close to him. Now, I missed some of the, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I've completely missed some of the elite long guys that take a lot of pride in both sides of the ball. But unquestionably, I see things Rudy do that I've never seen before.
No. Nope. It's just – I was just so enamored with that double block yesterday, because it's not that he blocked it twice. He's done that a couple times, but to block on one side of the rim, come down, pivot, establish yourself, go up and block it again, and both were violent, nasty dunks. It's just remarkable. You just don't see that.
He's fun to watch, and sometimes I wonder the way this offense works, the scheme in which this offense works, and the way it clicks. I do wonder sometimes if Rudy's running up and down the court offensively thinking to himself, well, here's another empty possession for me. Here's another no touch for me. Here's another chance for me to get an offensive rebound. You know, I do wonder sometimes if that starts to eat at him.
You know, but we heard that a little bit last year. Remember, he's like, you know, throw it up. Throw some lobs up there.
I need these guys to get the ball into me.
Yeah.
If they're losing.
That's the thing. It was exactly what I was going to say, Lloyd, is when you're winning, it's kind of fun. You're running up, down. You're getting your rebounds. He's getting his recognition with the All-Stars.
You don't want to mess with the mojo.
Dude's going to be an All-Star. Dude's going to be in the running for another Defensive Player of the Year. There's just so many things that are available for him that, I think it's going to be all right.
How much do you respect Mark Stein? Covering the NBA since 1994.
Dallas guy.
New York Times.
And then up to New York. I think he started in Dallas.
So Mark Stein, 1.5 million Twitter followers.
Yeah, he's out there. Yeah.
He just tweeted out, Utah is 25-6. 21 wins are by double digits. I did not know that. Of the 25 wins, 21 are by double digits. That'd be like a heavyweight fighter with 25 wins and 21 are by knockout. That's a big number.
Yep.
I think they should get 3 All-Stars, he said. We'll find out later today if Gobert, Mitchell, and Conley all get the nod. But Mark Stein thinks, yeah, they should.
If they get 3, I don't know, maybe it's just the pessimistic reporter and, you know, the guy that's been in this market forever. I don't know if they'll get 3. I don't know if Conley's going to be there. Conley, he'll have an interesting, like, sentimental pick to him. Because he's never made an All-Star game.
Sure.
He's been around the league. He's done some really good things.
And people in the league love and respect him.
And people love and respect him. So that's why I think he might. Because not only does he, A, deserve it for what he's done this year, but also B, like, hey, we've never put him in an All-Star game before.
You're right. Coaches, players, voters, fans, all of them could put a big smile on their face knowing this guy's been in the league for 10-plus years.
Yeah.
Or is this his 9th season?
No, I think it's 10.
Is it 10th?
Or more.
This guy's been around the league for X amount of years, and, man, it feels good to finally give him this. Yeah. And not because it's charitable.
Because he's earned it.
He went and earned it.
Yeah.
And it's the team with the best record. And Mark Stein brings up a good point. 25-6, 21 of those by double digits. The Jazz deserve recognition. Lloyd said they deserved a first teamer. I would agree. Now, they got the coach, which that helps a little bit. But three All-Star selections would be...
It's just so hard as a guard in the Western Conference.
Well, you're right, because...
21 wins, you said, of double digits.
Double digits. Yeah. And the best record in the NBA.
I mean, this team's good. Like, that's why they should have a starter in there somewhere. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and there's been a few people that have made that case. But then again, to Scotty's point, just to get the three All-Stars, you wait until you see the list of what they would coin snubs when Mike Conley gets the award. And and the nation's looking at it like, what? He got it, and these five guys that score more and more efficiently didn't? You're going to hear a lot of surly people.
It'll also be, if it ever happens, I mean, the fact that Jazz get more than one in is really good. And Donovan and Rudy are slam dunks. They're going to be there. But if they get Conley in, that's a really good message to the rest of the NBA that, okay, your coach is in. You've got a two-time defensive player of the year. You've got a guy who very well, and if the season ended today, would be the sixth man of the year. You got three All-Stars. Like, there's no reason you can't come to Utah and get all the accolades that you need to get. Because there was a concern. How do I put this lightly? How do I put this so nobody will understand who I'm talking about? There was a player who used to play for the Utah Jazz who doesn't, who left about 3 or 4 years ago on a major holiday, and who the Jazz may have played against last night. Who felt concerned about his ability to get individual accolades if he played in Salt Lake City. Was that pretty vague?
It was pretty vague. I'm still trying to figure out who you're talking about.
All right.
Can you give me any more tips?
Or do you feel bad injury.
Yeah, he did suffer a bad injury that first year. He likes to the first year the new team. He likes to play a lot of video games too. I should probably stop now. You might be able to figure it out.
You said he played last night?
Played against the Jazz last night.
Well, part of the game.
Anyways. Well, part of the game. All right. Hands and Scotty.
Does LaMelo play video games?
Stop.
I didn't know Trey Lyle played.
I'm looking down the scoring leaders list, and there's going to be so many upset people if he gets the
nod. Mike Conley gets in, yes, there's going to be. You thought Shaq was upset before. Just wait. You're going to be all kinds of salty.
Okay, so let me throw one at you. If he gets the nod, does that mean, I hope I don't sound stupid here, does that mean Jamal Murray is out?
Good.
Could, right?
Yeah.
Imagine Nugget fans if Jamal Murray is not.
Now I really want it to happen.
A seat at the table.
Yeah.
There's actually quite a few guys that are on this list that I'm looking down here and scratch your head and think, I don't know, man. I agree with Mark Stein and many others. Like, the Jazz deserve three, but I think one of them would need to be a starter. I don't know if you can give it to Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Maybe a injured reserve, but I don't know if you can give him an actual seat.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Katie's hanging out with us once again from Homie. Just go to homie.com for more information on how they can save you. In some cases, tens and tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine how much joy that brings to you and to Homie when you punch in the numbers of what could have been had they gone with a traditional real estate agent, the amount of money people save.
Yeah, it's really an incredible, honestly, blessing to be able to work where I work. And there's moments where we have these tangible, I call them tangible, like, experiences where you see, like, what the savings does, whether it's a family being able to have a baby for the first time because they could afford infertility treatments.
Wow.
Or, you know, watching my sister-in-law remodel her brand new home because she saved so much money using Homie. For me personally, I refinanced with Homie last year, and we refinanced to a 20-year loan. and we kept our house payment the same, but we were able to save over $100,000 over the life of the loan. And because of that, we've had this big discussion, me and my husband, like, oh, should we go down to a 15-year? And so we actually are closing next week on a 15-year refinance. The percentage rate, it just like blows my mind at how much we're able to save. And so I'm like, we're going to be able to pay off this house so much faster.
It's nearly a 15-year loan without much money attached.
Yeah, it's really great. And so the savings that we can have, like, not only seeing what our customers are saving, but then when I apply it, I'm like, man, I love where I work, right? Yeah. Like, my husband's like, oh, wow, I kind of like what you do.
Oh, the 15-year loan is so enticing. People out there that are listening, if you've ever thought about it, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And you can do that through Homey. I don't know if this is information you have or information you can give out. I'm curious, what's the most expensive home Homey has sold in the state of Utah?
I don't know it off the top of my head. I know that we listed one over the summer for $11 million up in Park City.
Could you imagine paying a flat rate of $1,500 on an $11 million sale? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and I know that I just talked to a gal who sold a $5 million home through Homey, and she was buying a home up in Idaho, I think in Bear Lake, on the Idaho side. And so, yeah, like the savings, it's incredible. I mean, no matter what your house is at and you list with us, you'd still that same flat fee. And the savings just really adds up.
$1,500. When you use promo code HANCE at homey.com, promo code HANCE gets you $500 off that $2,000 sell price. I also love that you're getting 8,000 more views per property.
Yeah, the marketing.
And climbing.
Yeah, for sure. The marketing that we have and getting up on all the social media and all of the main websites like Zillow and Realtor.com. Making sure that we have all of your listing in front of all those eyeballs, all those buyers that are on that market just waiting to pounce. Yeah. They're all there waiting, and we get that listing right in front of them and make sure you get those offers. And we'll help you walk through the whole process. If you have a multiple offer situation come in, we're going to help you know which one's the best one for you and guide you through the whole process so you don't feel like you're alone.
Imagine paying that $1,500 flat fee as opposed to $660,000 on 6%.
What is that? What was
of
that?
$11 million home. Yeah.
How much?
$660,000.
Yeah, you can buy yourself a house with that.
Yeah.
You save. I'm not going to do the math on that.
A lot.
And that's what you can do. You know, I just sold a little condo about 5-6 months ago.
Don't be so
with
Homey.
Keep saying little.
Keep saying little.
Come on.
I saved $9,000 on it. Like, that's just my little experience on a sell end of things. $9,000, I said, you could save money. Stop wasting money with overpriced realtors. They're stealing money from you, especially in the market right now. Homey will promote your home. Homey will get your home sold, and they're going to do it for $1,500 when you use promo code HANCE. Don't forget promo code HANCE when you go to homey.com.
That's homey.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Donovan constantly talks about how good he is at baseball. And I was like, I would 100% be able to hit one of your, what do you call it, a pitch? One of your
pitches?
Fastball, yeah. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. I said, well, let's bet. And the bet was he had 10 pitches and I had to connect on one of them. I'm not saying I'm going to smack him for a home run and run around the triangle thing with my shirt off.
Bases.
It's a diamond. It's not a triangle
whatever
thing.
Run around the sand pit. The other thing with throwing 10 straight is he's going to get tired. He doesn't play baseball for a living.
Hey, neither do you.
But I'm just standing there with a
Hey!
One out of 10. That's it. One. I know I can't run and jump and all that, but I can stand there and hit a ball.
Have a great bleeping day, Joe.
Joe Bleeping Ingles has joined us here on 97.5 and 1280 The Bleeping Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Catch jazz man Joe Ingles with DJ and PK on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. He's making good money on that.
Yeah, the rich always get richer.
Need money to make money.
Ryan Deem, who was an offensive tackle for a long time with the Colts, we came in as rookies together. So we were close for the 3 years that I was there. And I just saw that he has started a business where basically, Scotty, he's built the garbage can trucks that grab the garbage can and tip it up. But he's got these big sprayers that when it tips it up, it sprays really heavy hot water up into them and cleans them out. So he can clean thousands of garbage cans. And the business is doing extremely well. So good for him. I just never would have thought of it. You know, typically you're like, hey, kids, you need to go out and make a couple of bucks. Go see if you can clean some people's garbage cans. Take the pressure sprayer and go clean people's garbage cans.
I don't know, man. Looking at that thing at the middle of August, it gets pretty dank down there, man. I don't know if I that's not going to be a fun job.
The business is called Bin Scrub.
It's not meant to be fun for these kids.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. This is back on a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. They just tips them up, sprays them out.
You have some kids going door to door saying, hey, we're in the neighborhood. $20 will knock out your garbage. You want it? Boom, here's a Venmo. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Take us 5 minutes. It's not a bad idea, actually.
Not a bad idea at all.
Should we start a garbage cleaning?
I don't know. It doesn't interest me.
We'll make Rock and my boys do it.
It'd be kind of fun to watch them do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're not doing it.
And if they can make money doing it, good for them.
Well, no, good for us.
Yeah, good for us.
We keep the money.
Yeah, what's our cut? 100?
100%? Well, they're our kids, so you don't have to pay them minimum wage. So maybe, give you 50 cents a garbage can.
I don't mind that either. For the good, Scotty, yesterday we had a Coach Tim Lacombe on, former BYU assistant coach and current pre-half and post on-air guy with Jake Scott, does a great job for the Utah Jazz. But we asked Coach Lacombe about this BYU team, and he's had some interesting comparisons to last year's BYU team.
It's so hard for me to compare because I had so many guys I was so close to on the team last year. I've got guys this year and obviously friends with the staff and everything down there. But honestly, from a basketball perspective, and it hit me this weekend, I was watching the LMU game, and I honestly think this team may be better than last year. They do not score the ball as easy. They don't score as easy, but I think they're better defensively, and I think the X factor is they just have great physicality and size, especially this lineup they're starting now with Harms and Gideon George and Loner, and then Barcelo's just an absolute stud, and Averett's really stepped up and played great. But I think their depth and their tenacity, I just think they have a better chance because the NCAA tournament's all about a matchup. Scotty, you know that.
Yeah, yep.
And you wait and you see your name pop up on the screen and you're instantly like, hey, that's a real favorable matchup. And you still got to go win the game, but there were some nights where we're sitting there all excited and Texas A&M pops up there with seven footers, and you're just going, oh no, that's a hard matchup for us. But I think BYU, just because they're deep and they're versatile and they really guard this year, not that they didn't last year, but I think it's one of the bigger strengths. But they're also just starting to get better at knowing kind of the analytics of the game, shooting good shots, taking high percentage shots, and you got to credit the staff for that. So I think they got everybody talked last year about a chance to make a deep run. I think they could really make a deep run this year because I really like the way their team's put together.
You kind of have to concede to Coach on this, right?
You do.
Because he's just knows the game so well.
But instantly you think, no.
I disagree with him a little bit. And when I asked him the question that led into it, I'm like, I can't say they're as good as the team last year, but they're winning games and they're going to be a decent seed in the NCAA tournament. So it's hard to argue. I think in the NCAA tournament, you need to be better offensively. And I worry about this team and their shooting in an NCAA tournament. Now, they can defend like crazy. They're physical and all of that. I 100% agree. And but at the end of the day, Coach Lacombe's right. It's all about matchups. Like, you just – it's so much about the luck of the draw in the NCAA tournament is what it really ultimately boils down to. And so that's going to have to be key for this team. If they get the right draw, sure, they can go on a long run. But I would rather have, boy, that scoring of what you had last year.
So I will absolutely concede to Coach Lacombe because he's been there. He coached
exactly.
that team, and he knows. But I can't help but remember BYU at the end of last season beating that number two ranked Gonzaga team, and you're getting 28 points from Yoeli Childs. You're getting 16 points from TJ Haas. You're getting 17 points from Toulson. And everybody was efficient from the field, knocking down their shots. And then, you know, you had Celius who'd come off the bench and he'd always give you 8 to 10 points. Gave you 12 in that game against Gonzaga. And it's just, that was a really good team. I had a lot of respect for that team, their ability to hit on the perimeter, all the shooters they had, plus Yoeli Childs.
And such a shame they didn't make that we didn't have a tournament last year.
But Coach thinks that this team has the potential of making a deep run into the NCAA tournament. My fingers are crossed because there's nothing more entertaining to me than watching an in-state team make a nice, deep NCAA tournament run.
Yeah.
That's just great drama here in the state. So I hope it happens for BYU. I just don't – I personally don't see it as much with this team as I did last year's team, but Coach has a much better sense for that than I do. So I'm excited to watch him.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
By the way, good, the bad, the ugly, all brought to you by Zero Res. Get those three rooms of carpet clean for just $89.95. Call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. Well, it might happen. Tiger says recent back surgery could keep him out of the Masters for the third time in the last 6 years. Woods joined Jim Nance on the CBS broadcast of the final round of the Genesis Open in L.A. on Sunday and revealed the tough news, says he's got a ways to go before he feels like he can commit to entering the tournament field. Said, man, I hope so, but I've got to get there first, meaning he's got to get his back in play. Tiger coming off, you know, that Masters, what, a couple of years ago that we all loved?
19.
And I guess the surgery, a lot of people thought it would just be kind of a minor one. He'd get back on the fairways pretty quickly, but you know, when you're 45 years old, sometimes the body doesn't react the way you want it to.
Bums me out, man. I was really looking forward to this. But the procedure he had was pretty severe. They removed a pressurized disc fragment that was pinching his nerve in his back. Like you said, a lot of the experts, they felt like he'd be back on the course in time. But he went on and he said, I've only got one back. And he said, I'm already on borrowed time with it. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can push it back. Here's the problem, though, Scotty. He's 45, and he is one Masters shy of matching the all-time record set by Jack Nicklaus with six. Jack had six. Tiger's currently got five. So he's 45. He needs every single one he can because, let's say, he only gets one out of the next five. He needs them while he's young still. 45 is – he could still win at 45. How old was Jack on his last one? Was he 40?
He was older.
47 or 40?
He was older.
47 or 48, wasn't he? Jack Nicklaus's final Masters. I don't think he was in his 50s. I just thought it was late 40s. But I could be wrong with that. But I know this. Jack didn't have five or six different back surgeries at that point.
No, no.
Did Jack ever have a back surgery?
46.
I don't know.
So he was 46, Scotty. The record's gone, bud.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. The record's gone.
Oh, man. You know, and that's the thing. I watched that documentary, and I'm like, at the end of it, I'm like, man, I'd love for him to reel off some more majors.
Yeah, because we want to watch history. I don't know Jack. Didn't get to watch Jack. I only respect him because of the videos I watch of him, but I want to see history made. I want to see it. So I can say, oh, yeah, I saw his seventh. I saw his seventh when he beat Jack's six. I watched his seventh. His last three were just dramatic.
Yeah.
Let me take you into the moment. You know, and be able to share it with 30 years down the road when kids don't have any idea who Tiger Woods is.
Yeah.
Just like we don't have a real clue who Jack was at the time.
You know, frankly, we're getting to that point now where kids don't. I mean, it was 09 since he was as dominant and since the Thanksgiving Day 3-iron to the back of the vehicle. So I mean, you almost have a generation of kids coming up that don't remember Tiger being dominant Tiger.
You want to know the oldest player to win a major?
A major, let alone a Masters?
Just a major.
Give me the name and I'll give you the age.
You won't know. You won't know this guy.
Okay, I won't know. I'd rather guess the age than guess the...
Okay, the guy's name is Julius Boros.
Oh, well, geez.
Yes, absolutely. Boros of the 1940s.
I'm going to say 56.
Did you know who you read about this guy?
How old did you say?
I'm going to say 56.
Whoa, Scotty.
It's the 40s, man. Nobody was playing much golf.
Was the 40s right? Did I hit it?
48.
Got it.
48.
Yeah, because I know
this guy. And it was in 1968.
I know this guy and I know him well. I know his game. He overcooked things.
Yeah.
Fried a lot of eggs.
Overcame the El Josels in the later part
of
his career.
That is correct.
Just to get this win.
1948. I'm going to say 52.
I told you he was 48.
It's 48.
Oh.
What?
You were thinking the year, right?
Yeah, I thought
he thought the year.
Oh, what year?
Well, no. I guess the year.
No, it was 1968. Sorry.
1968.
So he was like, what?
He was 48.
He was 48. So he could still do it. And before that, it was 46 looks to be the for the most part, the end of it. That was, you
Man,
got Tommy
crazy.
Morris, he's senior, 46.
You know,
Jack
hey,
Nicklaus, 46.
Is it 50 plus on the senior tour?
Yes.
Tiger's 5 years away from being on the senior tour.
Wow.
Let that sink in for a second.
I think it is 50 plus.
You know, to your point, you know, I didn't even know Tiger, didn't even know that golf existed during his run because I was so knee-deep in what I was doing sports-wise. And you know I hated golf because we were raised as Idaho farm boys to hate golf.
That's pasture land,
yeah,
not golf land.
It's a waste of water and a waste of grass and area.
Yeah.
If you don't have a sheep eating it, then why are you growing it? And so
nobody wants sheep, cattle.
You're raised to hate it. I hated golf. I just despise it. I
played a little bit in high school just for fun. And that's where I started. And then I kind of went away from it for a little bit.
But watching that documentary and knowing did he reel off a grand slam, but it was a back end of back.
That's
right?
What they call it, the Tiger Slam, where he owned it wasn't all in one calendar year. So he owned all the majors at one point, but it was like half one year
finish.
And the first half of the second year, something like that. Yeah.
Just to think about somebody owning all four majors, now it means the world to me. Golf means so much to me. I mean, it's almost an emotional experience.
It'd be nice to get an invite once in a while.
Stop it, man. You know you burnt that bridge 2 years ago.
Once you burn that bridge.
Lloyd and I counted it. 38
you did not,
denied
you
invites
did not
in a
any.
Single
we looked at the text
golf
messages.
Season. 38. And we're like, you know what? He doesn't want to be with us anymore.
Yeah. All right. Whole World News coming up next. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated.
Who is more important to the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell?
It's tough. It's a coin flip, and they both do different things for that team, which is great for the Jazz. You can make an argument both ways, but this might be the year where you give Rudy a bit of the edge. I think Gobert has been like a top five MVP guy this year. He's been unbelievable. Not just the usual defensive stuff, but screen setting, creating space for his guys to operate with those big screens, rolling off them, just the little things that often don't show up on the stat sheet. Every time I'm watching Jazz games, like he's doing something that's impactful on the offensive end. He's doing a little bit of everything out there, and it's really powered this Jazz start.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O' Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your Tuesday.
Kind of a crazy story for everybody today. Of course, brought to you by Elite Works. Had a lot of fun out there at Elite Works yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those guys can rebuild your website for free. And they're going to give you an incredible, incredible price on new builds. And all you got to do is call 844-523-2777. Let them know Hans and Scotty sent you. So, Scotty.
Yes.
This woman and her friend decided to take a trip up to this man's cabin in Alaska. And it's an ert, you know, just a little, kind of a little outbuilding that's miles away from civilization. And out at this ert, they've got an outhouse. So they get up to this ert, they pull up in their snowmobiles, they're doing their thing, and this female friend of this guy has to go use the restroom. So she goes out to the outhouse to use the restroom. She quickly opens the lid, sits down, and as she sits,
something bites
into her back end.
Oh, man.
So listen, this is her. She said, I got out there, I sat down on the toilet, and immediately something bit right into my back end. She said, I jumped up and I screamed when it happened. Obviously, you would be just shocked and alarmed. Now sitting down without checking a latrine.
It's a little bit on you.
Well, listen to this, dude. So she comes out screaming. Her brother hears her, runs out. It's about 150 feet away from the yurt. And so the brother runs out there and found his sister, Shannon, tending to the wounds that are on her back end. And he's like, what in the heck? He's thinking it's a squirrel or a raccoon or, you know, something.
It's a snake.
He goes and gets his flashlight, opens up the toilet lid, and there is a massive bear staring.
A bear?
A bear decided to hibernate in the toilet.
Well, okay, if you woke up from your hibernation and that's been going on, you're going to be a little cranky too.
What are you doing, man? How dare you? This is not a wake-up call that I really appreciate. So the bear ripped into her back end and said, here's the comments from the brother. He said, I opened the toilet seat, and there's just this bear face just right there at the level of the toilet seat, just looking right back at the hole through the hole at me. So I quickly shut the lid as fast as I could, and I yelled, there's a bear down there. We got to get out of here right now. And we ran back to the yurt as fast as we could. Once they were safely in the yurt,
It's a yurt. You're never going to be safe in a yurt from a bear.
It's a tent.
Said that once they were safely in there, they were able to treat the wounds to Shannon's hindquarters. Could you imagine sitting down and having something just rip into your back end and you're like, whoa, and you fly out that.
I like how Katie walks in and these things. She's like,
I already told her good luck.
It was a bear, Katie. A bear in a latrine bit a lady on the
Why do I come in at the end of Whole World News?
I know. No,
she didn't check. It was in Alaska, and she didn't check the toilet before she sat down. And right as she sat, it bit her. And they were thinking it was a raccoon or something. But obviously the teeth mark, the wound was enough that that'd be a heck of a raccoon. But the brother opened up the toilet lid, and the bear's face was right there. And so obviously, the bear found a nice hibernating spot, nice warm place, apparently.
But serious question, though, like when you guys go like hiking and you're out, you know, down in Moab, do you look for snakes? Like I am terrified of those pit toilets.
Oh, yeah, very much. Always.
Freaks the crap out of me.
Yeah. I won't use.
No pun intended.
I won't use my family member's name, but this individual had an experience where she got. They got bit. And so, yeah, I always look. Always look.
Yeah.
Wait, what was intended?
Nothing.
Now I don't get to enjoy the fun part of this.
It's all right.
You're not going to share it with me?
No, I didn't say it. It was Katie.
Katie?
Yeah.
Katie with the quip.
Did Katie almost get dumped?
No.
No
I'm
pun
not
intended.
No pun
intended.
Very much pun intended.
Like a bear in a toilet?
Oh.
Hey, we can save you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
If you need to sell dollars. Your yurt, homie will help you sell it.
If you've been bit, you need to get out of a place. No, but anything that you need to sell, whether it's a rental property, a vacation property, a cabin, it doesn't matter. Homie.com is going to save you thousands of dollars doing it. Katie, walk people through how Homie was able to revolutionize the way things are bought and sold.
Yeah, you know, it all started with one of our founders, Mike Peregrina. He had some house, like he had some investment properties back in the 2008 bubble and the crash, and he lost everything. And he lost all that, all those people that he had worked with, all those agents he had worked with to get those properties. Nobody was there to help him. Like, he lost all of that during that housing crash. And he knew that there had to be a better way. And he approached Johnny Hanna, and Johnny Hanna had, you know, sold his own townhome. He created his own website and did all the work, but his realtor took all the fees. So he's like, there has to be a better way. And they came out and they started Homie. And you know, they have turned Homie into something that it's so much more than just savings. It's a mission to make sure that we're making homeownership easy, affordable, and accessible to everybody. And we're bringing everything under one roof to make sure that not only are we helping you with the purchase and the sale of your home, but we're helping you with your insurance, your title paperwork, your loans. We're making it transparent. We're making it, we're utilizing the technology that's out there, the expert agents that we have, and the incredible team that we have at Homie to make sure that you get all the savings and you get to have whatever it is that you're looking for. Like we've talked about, whether it's selling your home and going to college, or selling your home and getting that dream house that you've been dying to have, or downsizing your home to have the perfect house for grandchildren to come run around, whatever that dream may be, we're going to help you achieve that and make sure we're saving you as much money as possible and keep all that equity in your pockets.
You know, the demand for inventory is just crazy high right now, and everybody's looking and desperately trying to get the in on a place that maybe get, you know, a little heads up before it's listed or anything along those lines. If you sign up with Homie, you'll have opportunities to really get the first crack at a lot of homes out there.
Yeah, our agents, they're always looking, and they're going to have your best interest at heart. Our agents care about you, not the commissions. They care about making sure that you find that dream home and making sure it's the right home for you. And they're going to look out everywhere that they have access to, and they're going to find those dream homes. And so our agents are here for you. Go online, download the app. Just register and start looking for homes and just click to take a tour. It's so easy. Just a click of the button, our agent's going to come meet you at the door, walk you through those homes, and help find your dream home and walk you through the whole process.
Because speed's so important right now.
Yeah.
Like, if you find a house you like, you've got to get that offer in fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And, I mean, like I said, it's so easy. You just find a home online, click to take a tour. Our agent's going to come meet you at the door. They're going to help through, you know, figuring out what the best offer is. That's a scary moment, too, when you're trying to put an offer in. Like, how do I make sure that my offer is the strongest offer? Our agents are pros at this. All they do, we have just buying agents, and all they do is help put offers in on homes and get those their buyers under contract. We have agents that when you list your home, that's all they do is they help list homes. They're professionals at this. They're experts. Our agents are doing more deals on average than the traditional agent, and because of that, they are so good at what they do.
Go to homie.com, buy, sell, whatever you're looking to do, title, loan, it's all right there for you at homie.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.